Time now for Three Stories You Should Know. That's our weekly feature, allowing two well-informed sports journalists and one radio host each the opportunity to present a story of the week. And I'm joined by Nancy Armour this time around. She's sports columnist for USA Today and by sports writer Eric Malinowski. Welcome back to both of you.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Eric.
After decades of holding the threat of relocation over the heads of cities and states all across the nation, the NFL has finally moved a team to Los Angeles, or they've returned one to Los Angeles. The LA Rams will begin play this fall. And Eric, I understand you do have some thoughts on that subject.
As with all these cases, this was a process that was put into motion by the owner of the team, Stan Kroenke, who, you know, gives off kind of a schlubby uncle vibe, but apparently in the boardroom, he turns into a Game of Thrones character. He's been something of a recluse the last few years, but lo and behold, as soon as the relocation was approved, he was more than happy to give a sit-down interview to the LA Times. There was a question was, how did you feel about leaving St. Louis? And his answer was, quote, I'll always feel great things about Missouri. I never dreamed I'd be put in this position, but at the same time, you're not going to sit there and be a victim. Now, this is a man who has a net worth of about $7 billion, according to Forbes. So as you can imagine, this is not coming off very well. Relocation, as history has shown, is the fastest way to propel oneself up the rankings of the most hated owner in sports. But I wonder, is he number one? Is he the most hated owner in sports? I mean, maybe just in football. But when you're talking about a collection of men like Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder, even that would be quite an accomplishment.
Right now, it's going to be tough to top him. If he hadn't thrown out the victim word, maybe you could have put him down like two, three, maybe even four. But yeah, I mean, given the fact that the people in St. Louis are still paying for the stadium that he just hightailed it out of, and they were willing to build him another one. So how exactly he is the quote unquote victim in all of this is really mind boggling.
Well, I got to weigh in on this myself and say that I think you're both taking entirely the wrong angle on this story. MLS Commissioner Don Garber said the Rams leaving town gives the bid for a Major League Soccer team, quote, a little more momentum. St. Louis is going to get a team that plays a great sport. They ought to be giving a parade to the Rams on the way out.
Well, talk about a silver lining. You know, Kroenke owns other sports teams, you know, including, you know, in Colorado and Denver. But he also is the majority shareholder of Arsenal. So if somehow, you know, he's got relocation fever, I'm just saying, Arsenal fans, be prepared for anything at this point.
Nancy, your story is up next. And I understand that you have a question that comes out of the death of Lawrence Phillips, formerly a running back at Nebraska and for several professional teams, some of them in the NFL. He died in prison this week.
Yes, of a suspected suicide where he was he's in prison for violating his probation. He apparently directed a car at some children and also was accused of assaulting an ex-girlfriend. But one of the things I find interesting is his former coach at Nebraska, Tom Osborne, said that part of the reason he let Phillips keep playing at Nebraska was because he thought football provided some structure for him and that it was the only way you could get him help. And he said he often was bothered because he doesn't think that continued when he was in the pros. And if you go back and look at the quote from Georgia Frontier, the Rams owner at the time, when Phillips was drafted, she flat out said she didn't care about his past. And she said, if it helps our team, that's all I care about. Has the NFL really changed? Because when you look at, say, Greg Hardy's situation and Jerry Jones, who talks about wanting to use their resources to help this poor guy out, is it really just the same? As long as somebody can sack the quarterback, you know, 15 times a season or rush for 100 yards a game, does that outweigh their character issues?
Eric, what do you think? Has the NFL changed since Georgia Frontier said what she said, or are we still operating in the same universe?
I mean, I think that we're operating in a universe where I think it's still pretty clear that they just look at these players as assets. This is an attitude and a culture that has been ingrained in the NFL for decades. And Lawrence Phillips had committed some horrible crimes in his life and also had a really horrible upbringing. But it's clear that at various stages of his life, you know, even if it was just in the way of advice and support, that he clearly wasn't getting enough and the system really did fail him at some point.
It's an interesting point. The system failed him. Just to be specific for a moment about one of the things he did, in 1995, when he was still at Nebraska, Lawrence Phillips dragged his ex-girlfriend down three flights of stairs by her hair. I think this is a guy who perhaps should have been in jail much earlier than he ended up in jail and maybe would have gotten some help there, because he certainly didn't get it in the world of college football and in the world of pro football. I'm also wondering whether they're going to examine his brain to see if there's CTE, because he certainly played enough football so that that could be part of what was going on there.
And as a running back, too, when there's a lot of head-to-head collisions.
My story is about corruption in international sports, and for once I'm not talking about FIFA, which is soccer's governing body. The president of the International Association of Athletics Federations allegedly demanded millions of dollars to secure his support of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, and his sons allegedly solicited money from athletes to keep their positive doping test results covered up. This guy's no longer the president. He was ousted in August when Sebastian Coe took over. But this is the latest bad news in the world of track and field. I put the odds at perhaps 2-1 that now the track and field governing body is the worst miscreant in this universe, maybe even worse than FIFA, although maybe FIFA has an edge because there's so many FIFA executives involved in this. Anybody want to prognosticate further on this?
I actually think that the IAAF is worse than FIFA, and that is a really low bar to set, but at least it is. But at least with FIFA, it's just about lining your own pockets and selling the competitions. Whereas with IAAF, this involves the competitions themselves. I mean, we're talking about athletes who were robbed of medals because the Russians were paying off people to overlook doping tests or helping their athletes evade doping tests. So to me, that's way worse. And, you know, the other part of the story that I love is apparently Vladimir Putin was weighing in on this or was consulted about which athletes could compete, because the guy doesn't have enough else to do.
And at least with FIFA, you know, they really seem to be enjoying the fruits of their corruption, you know, at least, you know, getting package deals to stay in the same fancy Swiss hotel on multiple occasions and, you know, saving the taxpayers' dollars because at least the police know where to go and arrest everybody every time. And FIFA has made this chic and popular, and the IAAF wants to get in on the game. You can't blame them. There's a lot of benefit for everyone.
My guests for three stories you should know have been USA Today sports columnist Nancy Armour and sports writer Eric Malinowski. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill and Eric. Always a pleasure.